What's up, guys? What is going on? Good afternoon, Brooklyn. It's good to see everyone. Welcome once again to Campus Sunday. I hope it's been an inspiring time for you so far. And I actually want to start off this message by saying thank you to the Brooklyn Campus Ministry. They are so amazing. I'm so incredibly grateful for all of you guys. You guys are so loving, so genuine, so honest and humble. You guys are fighters, and I'm blessed to be in the fight with you. These are 18 people that I wouldn't trade the world for. These are, you know, some of my brothers and sisters at Campus Ministry, this is actually their last Campus Sunday. You know, you got people like Giuseppe and Emmanuel and Eric and Taiwo and Kende. They actually stay back in the Campus Ministry to help out. You know, to help out with Bible studies, to help out with discipling people, and I'm so grateful for them. And their sacrifice this past year. And I really want to thank you guys. I really appreciate you all. Really appreciate you guys. You guys could clap for them. Don't be shy to clap for them. If you feel like clapping, don't clap if you don't want to clap. But if you want to, then go ahead. And I also want to thank the Brooklyn Church. Your prayers and your support has helped to make the Campus Ministry what it is. You know, whether it's your support of a bake sale or an open mic night or, you know, helping a student get to ICMC or a retreat, it's your friendship, your guidance, and just having great expectations for us. It's done more than you know. Your reward is in heaven because we definitely can't pay you back. Your reward is in heaven. But I want to encourage you to please continue to encourage the young people in this church because we hold on to it. Like, we cherish it in our hearts, whether we're teens at campus, young singles. We really appreciate that. And we're inspired by you guys' example. We really appreciate it. I'm so grateful for all of you guys. I could spend my whole message thanking people. But we're going to dig into our theme for today, which is go in the strength you have. So let's pray together, and then we're going to get our message started. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day, God. Thank you for just getting me ready to preach, Father. Thank you for allowing us to meet together for service, God. I pray that you be with this message, Father. I pray that you help me say what you want me to say, God. Please guide me by your spirit. I pray that you can soften everyone's hearts here, God, including mine, God, to your word, so that we can be cut by it, moved by it, and that we can change and be more like Jesus, God. We love you. Pray us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Giuseppe, that was kind of creepy. But he's a... helping fix this PowerPoint here. But yeah, the theme for Campus Sunday is go in the strength you have. And a few weeks ago, many of our members in our campus ministry, we all sat down for our lit group, which is our leaders in training group. And we sat together and discussed some themes for Campus Sunday. And Ileana mentioned this theme, go in the strength that you have. And we had other ideas. We prayed about it. I prayed about it. And I began to think about where our campus ministry is. And I think the topic, going to strength you have, made so much sense, this topic for our Campus Sunday, because I don't know about you guys, but 2016, in a lot of ways, kind of stripped the campus ministry of its strength. It stripped us of our strength. You know, our strength was in so many things as individuals and as a ministry, as you saw in the video there. You know, it was in our health. You know, we're young, right? We're supposed to be healthy and able to, you know, do whatever, but we might think that we won't have any worries with our health, but as young people, we go through things as well. You know, Kende is going through some challenging times with her health, and other people went through some health challenges this year as well. You know, it could be our education and our direction in life. We may think that our future is certain. You know, we're going to go to school, and then we're going to graduate, and then we're going to apply for a job, and then immediately get that career with that 50, 60K salary or whatever. And it doesn't happen like that, right? It doesn't happen like that. Our future is not so certain. And some of us are realizing that growing up is a little bit harder than we thought it was going to be. You know, our strength was in our relationships as well. You know, we saw people walk away from God. People close to us, brothers and sisters, choosing a different path. You know, people that in some ways, you know, we become so connected to, but to choose to leave God. And that was difficult for us. You know, sometimes it was just even hard to see a brother or sister move from campus to singles. You know, they're still around. They're like a few rows back or whatever, but it's different. You don't see them in midweek, you know, at campus midweek, you don't see them at Devo as much. And And you realize that when that person is not discipling you anymore, they're not around you all the time, you realize how much you relied on that person and how much your strength was in that person. Just this past year, 15 people transitioned out of the campus ministry. In the past 3 years, 35 people transitioned out of the campus ministry. So I'm like sitting here and I'm just like, everyone's leaving. You know what I'm saying? So I've experienced this past 3 years of people going and transitioning to different places and moving different places. And we realized that maybe our strength was in our numbers. And we saw that change. You know, maybe it was our pride in growing a lot and seeing a lot of baptisms happen. It could be so many things that we put our strength in. And I think there were some highlights to 2016. It wasn't all a bad year. But, you know, we left 2016 feeling a little weak. And I don't know if you can relate. Have you ever felt stripped of your strength? Weak, desperate, losing faith, struggling, anxious. That's something that we can relate to. But I want to tell you something else. I believe there is something good that could come out of all of this. I believe there's something beautiful that could come out of this dust. Life out of the dry bones. Strength out of weakness. Not because we're determined, and we are, or not because of our perseverance, and we're going to fight to persevere, but because of God. Stripped of our strength or feeling weak, lost, feeling discouraged, feeling like there's nothing left, we need to remember that there is one left. One who is untouched, unmovable, unstoppable, and all-powerful, and that's God. And we have to rely on him. My first point today is in his strength. The title of our message is Go in the Strength You Have, and we're talking about being in his strength. Let's look at Judges 6. Judges 6, verses 11 to 24. Giuseppe, the remote is not working, but you could just take care of it. Judges 6, verses 11 to 24. God is our strength. In Judges 6, verse 11 to 24, it says, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under an oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'Pardon me, Lord,' Gideon replied. 'But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?' 'Pardon me, my Lord,' Gideon replied, 'but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh and I'm the least in my family.' The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive.' Gideon replied, 'If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you.' And the Lord said, 'I will wait. I will wait until you return.'" And we could pick up in verse 22. "When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, 'Alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face.' But the Lord said, 'Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die.' So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, 'The Lord is Peace.' To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites." You know, the people of Israel are in a place of weakness, oppressed by the Midianites. Their disobedience to God actually dug them into a hole. But God was willing to deliver them. An angel of the Lord comes to visit Gideon, and he is threshing wheat in a wine press. Not exactly what you want to be doing when an angel pays you a visit. Something as silly as that. You know, the people are hiding and so caught up in fear that Gideon is doing when you should be threshing wheat on a threshing floor and pressing wine in a wine press or whatever, you know, but he's doing just something that doesn't even make sense. And this is how the angel of the Lord meets him. And, you know, I think I have those moments in my life where I do things that don't make sense. I call them brain farts, right? Teens know what I'm talking about. Talk about brain farts. You know, like even the other day I was eating Popeye's chicken. It's delicious. It's amazing. But it was a little dry, though. A little dry this day. And I was like, yo, I'm just going to pour on some ketchup, right? So I got the packets that they give me, and I'm pouring on the ketchup. I'm opening packets, pouring on the ketchup. And I'm so just like used to opening packets and pouring ketchup and opening packets and pouring ketchup that I got the grape jelly open, not even paying attention. And I'm just like, oh, no, that doesn't mix. That doesn't mix. I don't know if anybody does that, but that's not, I don't put grape jelly on my chicken. You know, you have those moments. I've had moments where I'm trying to eat cereal and I'm reaching in the fridge for just a random container that feels like milk, but it's actually orange juice, and I'm just kind of starting to pour it on the cereal, and I'm not even aware of what's happening. You know, and Gideon is doing something silly like this. This is truly silly what he's doing, and God sees him in his weakness. Gideon's so scared of the Midianites that he's doing something that doesn't even make sense. He's at his low, that is rock bottom, his weakness, and the Lord says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." He calls him a mighty warrior at this point. And Gideon's response is, "Excuse me, how could the Lord be with me? Don't you see what's going on? Things are going well for me and my people." And the angel speaks to him again. He says, "Go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you?" Gideon's reply, "But I'm weak. What strength are you talking about? Saving Israel? What? I'm threshing wheat in a wine press. How is that going to happen?" The angel replies, "I'll be with you. You will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." And Gideon goes on to ask for a sign, and he realizes eventually that he's speaking to an angel of the Lord. And he doubts in other points in his life, and he asks for signs later because he wasn't really confident. But he really had no reason to be confident in his own strength. He had no reason to be confident. But he was trying to rely on a strength that the angel of the Lord was trying to point him to a different strength. Not his own strength, but God's strength. You know, God called the weak Gideon a mighty warrior who was going to save Israel out of Midian's hand, striking them all down, leaving none alive. Why? Because he was sending him. Because he was with him. "Go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you?" What strength does Gideon have? Gideon has strength from God. Gideon has power from God. And I look around and I see people who are a lot stronger than they realize. People who are a lot stronger than they realize. And it's not because I know some secret talent that you haven't discovered yet. I don't know any of things like that. I don't know about your potential, what you can do. But I know that if you're a disciple of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, and so you are strong. And I know that if you continue to rely on God, then you will see that strength. Gideon's strength came from the fact that God was with him. And yours comes from the same place. You may not feel strong in here, in your heart. You may not feel maybe that you're strong. You may not feel that way, but you need to trust the scriptures. You need to trust the scriptures and know in your mind that you are strong. I want to share some scriptures with you guys that remind us that we have strength from God. You guys want to do that? Let's look at some scriptures that remind us that we have strength in God. You know, it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, I'm going to go through these so you guys can write them down. Giuseppe, you can help me out with this PowerPoint. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 10. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.' Philippians 4:13, 'I can do all this through him who gives me strength.' Psalm 46, verse 1, 'God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble.' Psalm 28, verses 7 and 8, 'The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy with the song, I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one.' Isaiah 12, verse 2, 'Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation.' And lastly, in Isaiah 40, verse 29 to 31, 'He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. When God asks us to go in the strength that we have, he's asking you to go in his strength. In his strength. And if you pull him in, if you rely on him, you'll be strong too. You can trust and not be afraid. You have help when you are in trouble. God is here. And often it takes us being in a place of weakness to realize the strength that we have at our disposal. God's power is made perfect in weakness. You know, next time you feel weak, search for the good. Seek the good that God says can come from any situation and the strength that is available to you. Make God your stronghold. Let's look at Psalm 37, verse 39 to 40. Talking about God being our stronghold. Psalm 37, verse 39 to 40. The Bible reads, "The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him." I want to ask you guys a question. Who is your stronghold? What's your refuge? Who do you take refuge in? You know, we miss out on opportunities to see how much of a refuge God is because we refuse to trust in him sometimes. Sometimes we rely on our wisdom. We take refuge in our wisdom. Our wisdom is our stronghold. We're in a tough situation. We got an important decision to make. And there's this long road of advice ahead of us. Or there's this short road of pride and self-reliance. And we take the short road. We rely on our wisdom. We make people our primary refuge. You know, our family in Christ is meant to be a great support, but we can't put them in the place of God. Because if we do, when they fall, we will as well. Our foundation should be on the rock, and that's Jesus. You know, I think in our church culture, we place obviously a heavy emphasis on one another relationships. And that comes from the Bible, right? The Bible places a heavy emphasis on one another relationship. God does. But sometimes we go too far and we put all of our strength and reliance on someone else. You know, and I'm not talking to all of us. Some of us are like trying to be Batman Christians. We want to rely on God. You know, Jesus is my personal savior that has nothing to do with you. Find the phrase personal savior in the Bible. It's not going to come up. Some of us try to, you know, make our relationship with God too personal. Right? But I'm not talking to those group of people. I'm talking to the group of people who spend too much time relying on others, relying on people, placing too much of an emphasis on people, and all the while losing our connection to God. You know, the Bible says we confess to one another and pray for each other. And not just talking and getting things off of our chest for the sake of some sort of psychological relief. We can go to therapy for that, right? But the power is in prayer. The power is in the sureness of God's forgiveness as we acknowledge our sin before God and man. And we can't begin to put people in the place of God. We need to realize why we rely on each other. It's because of God. We submit to one another out of our reverence for Christ. That's why we rely on each other. You know, we need to know that having our faith in God, that God can work through this family to help us spiritually, to encourage us, to correct us, to rebuke us, that God is doing this through them. We can't put people in the place of God because people come and go. Leadership shifts and changes. All sorts of things can happen. But if people are not our stronghold, then we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right because God is our stronghold. And the only thing that stays the same yesterday, today, and forever is Jesus. And we'll be all right because we rely on Jesus and not too much on people. You know, sometimes we could also make our possessions or status a refuge. We could feel safe, secure, and confident because of our savings, because of our position, our title, our clothes, how the world sees us, all that stuff that can be gone in an instant. Something that's not reliable, something that's not certain. We can't make these uncertain things the primary source of our strength. Because in comparison to eternity, we have such a short time here on earth. It matters so much how we spend our time here on earth. Why would we get caught up in building our earthly treasures and forfeit our treasure in heaven? You know, the Bible has something to say about people who live about like this. In Psalm 52, verses 5 to 8, you guys can write this down. It says, "Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and pluck you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at you, saying, 'Here now is a man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever.'" Do we know God's strength? Sometimes we don't know God's strength because we haven't trusted in it. The only one made to be our refuge is God. You refuse his refuge and you will regret it every time. We will remain in weakness even if it feels like false strength. But if we seek his strength, we will have success every time. And it may not come from our own definition of success, but when it's all said and done, we'll see how great God's plan truly was. You know, in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11, to close out this point of relying on his strength, it says, "Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always." Guys, I really want to encourage you to seek God's strength, to know that you are strong because of God and to rely on him completely. Amen. My second point is to go. I think if we realize that we're strengthened by God, then the challenge, the call to go is easy. To go do whatever it is God is calling you to do. Whatever it is, bring it on, because victory will be assured and we are strong in God. You know, Psalm 144, verses 1 to 4, you guys can turn there. It talks about God just getting us ready to go because he is our strength. In Psalm 144, verse 1 to 4, it says, "Praise be to the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. He is my loving God and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield in whom I take refuge, who subdues peoples under me. Lord, what are human beings that you care for them? Mere mortals that you think of them. They are like a breath. Their days are like a fleeting shadow." You know, while it's mind-boggling to think about how much God cares for us and how he thinks of us, we got to embrace that he's interested in getting us ready for any battle that we will face. He trains us not for a physical battle, but a spiritual battle. We are strong because of God, and that should give us confidence in this fight of faith, in the fight against sin, in the fight to win souls for Christ, in the fight to make it to heaven. You know, there's an incredible confidence that we should have because of who we are in Christ. God is sending you, and he is saying, go in the strength you have. And if God is for us, then who can be against us? God is on your side. And God is undefeated. God is unbeatable, and he is with us. Can you say that you are the strongest at anything? That you're undefeated in something? That you can't be beat in something? Can you boast in anything? Probably not. But yet, some of us try. Some of us still boast. God can boast. He's the only one who really should be boasting, but still, some of us boast. And I hear boasts all the time, especially from the brothers. You know, sisters boast too, I'm sure. Like, I'm sure you guys boast. But I hear it all the time from the brothers. You know, I hear brothers boasting about, you know, their skills in video games. Right? You know, you got the teens that still think they can beat me in Smash Brothers. And it's like, it's never going to happen. You know what I'm saying, Jaden? So, you know, like, you got people boasting in their video game skills, or whether it's NBA 2K or anything like that. You got people boasting in their real game skills, like basketball and stuff like that. I hear Sean Brown's mouth all the time talking about how good he is in basketball. I think Jerome still thinks that he's better than Steve at QB and all these different things. All these different boasts that we make, you know, whether it's in soccer, fishing skills. For me, I boast in weird stuff. I think that I'm the best thumb wrestler in the church. I really do. I can't tell you the last time I've been beaten thumb wrestling. Look at my thumb, guys. Like, I have a big thumb. You can see me afterwards. But, you know, we boast in areas that we have extreme confidence, that we feel strong, we feel experienced, we feel trained. But where are the men and women who will boast in the Lord? Are we people who boast about God? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 25. It says, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing with you, nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." You know, Paul and all the impact that he made was about God's power. All his boasts were going to be in the Lord. He's an amazing man, of course, but you can't tell the story of Paul without talking about God and what God did. You know, when I think about the fact that God calls us to go, the fact that he sends us to go preach the word, to go show love and mercy to our neighbor, to go serve the poor, to go shine a light in this dark world, to go work hard and earn the respect of outsiders with the way we live, to go and be like Jesus, it's an impact he calls us to make by resting on his power. God has used us to make a tremendous impact in Brooklyn as a church. And some of it I've seen for myself, some of it I've heard stories about. But are the glory days behind us, or are greater things yet to come? Are we just supposed to coast and settle for a generation until something new comes along, or a new person, a new leader comes along? Or is there an almighty God and a resurrected Jesus who is leading this church, that we can do greater things, just as God said? You know, if we have maybe stories and things that we saw accomplished through God in the past, did God's power go anywhere? It's still here. And while we waver up and down, God's power remains powerful. The Spirit still desires to move. God still has in mind to do greater things through us than through Jesus. But will we go in the strength that we have? It may look different than the past, but it will be nothing short of amazing if we go in God's strength. If we go and teach our children about God and encourage them with his love. When we go and reach out to our friends and serve our communities. When we say no again and again to temptation to decide to be pure, to be honest, forgiving, and loving. If we go and do it in God's strength, we will see amazing things. I want to spend the end of my message boasting about God. Boasting about the things that God has been doing in Brooklyn. And I want to share some stories about the Brooklyn Go Team. Right? Y'all don't even know what that is. Right? So there's a team called the Brooklyn Go Team that started in the beginning of February, right? And I preached a message about "Here I Am, Send Me," and Phil had a great message that he did at the expo service. And I said, "Hey guys, I just want to start like a mini mission team in Brooklyn. And if you're interested, then see me in the back." And people came. About 20 people are a part of this team. And we got people in campus, people in singles, people who are married. We got people in their 20s, people in their 50s. It's a nice, diverse group of people. And these people who are in this Brooklyn Go Team, they're not particularly brave. They're not particularly outgoing. In fact, weekly, there's some sort of cry for people just asking, "Could you just pray for me to be bold? Pray for me to have muster up the courage to share my faith." You know, these are people who are just deciding to go in the strength they have. And I'm in many group me's, many little group chats and stuff like that, but this is the most inspiring one that I'm a part of. And I want to boast about God for a bit and share about people going in the strength that they have. You know, this group started on February 5th. It was a Sunday. And Monday, let me rewind back here. The goal of the group was just simply to share faith every day. And when you share with someone, Post it on a GroupMe about how it went and ask for prayer. And let's pray for each other, let's encourage each other, and let's make it a daily habit to share our faith. That was the goal. And immediately, it actually started that Sunday. One brother shared with someone the first person they saw when they left South Shore High School. And then on Monday, people are posting on the GroupMe about sharing. You know, a sister posts that, I invited my office mate to service today. She's interested in visiting. You have another sister who said, hey, I just shared with my banker, Stephanie. Please pray for her. You know, and it was simple. And people are still keeping this up. It's been a month and change now. And, you know, we have our days where we don't share, maybe. But we're keeping it going. And I'm amazed by people being real about their weaknesses and going in the strength that they have. You know, at the beginning, the first week that we did this, you had people just being open about how much of a struggle it is for them to go and to share their faith. And I remember one sister, she wrote this. I got like all these GroupMe messages here written down. She says, I'm going to be open to say that I have a lot of trouble in this area of my discipleship. And I find that I get overtaken by fear and doubt when it comes to sharing my faith. I envision myself doing it, but fail when it's time to actually do it. But I'm not going to give up. I'm still going to try. This is the first post that she made on the GroupMe. And when you kind of go through the GroupMe's history, you see this person just going in the strength that they have. This sister was incredible. She posted a few days later or a week later. You know, good morning. I just shared with a lady on the train. Her name is Yelena. Pray that she comes out one day. Again, she posts, I'm so encouraged this morning. I met this girl in the summer. This girl in the summer reached out to me this morning, and I had a chance to share scripture with her and invite her to church. She also invited someone who's painting her apartment who spoke Spanish. She didn't speak Spanish, so she just kind of showed him the Spanish side of the card and just went for it. That's all that she really had to do, and she went for it. You know, and even there was an opportunity where she shared with someone. She asked for prayer about that person, and then a few days later, that person actually came to church. And this is the same person that the first message on the GroupMe is, guys, this is a struggle for me. I'm weak in this area. But they went in the strength that they had. They relied on God and they saw amazing things happen. You know, there was a sister who shared, and she had no voice. She was screaming at the Super Bowl party that she went to. She had no voice, but she wanted to share her faith. So she's like whispering to someone and sharing her faith. She's like, guys, I don't know how it went, but I'm going to keep going. You know, that's all she had. She had a little bit of a voice as she shared her faith. There was a sister who just came back from dental surgery and probably was drooling. That's nasty. But she had a faith tattoo that somebody pointed out. And in sore jaw and all, sharing her faith. Guys, I pray something good comes out of this. Just going in the strength that they had. It's amazing, guys. There's so many stories. You know, people asking for prayer, people sharing about their struggles, and then going in the strength that they had to reach out to people. People are meeting together, sharing the faith with 10-plus people, making the most of every opportunity, whether it's calling or texting old friends or meeting a stranger on the street. God is using people who just made themselves willing to go. And, you know, even there was a time I got on campus and I felt weak, and I was like, God, I don't know if I can share my faith with someone without praying. And I'm just walking around and praying, kind of trying to procrastinate from sharing. But I'm just praying and praying and praying, and it was cold outside, so I went inside. I prayed while sitting on the radiator, and I'm in the hallway in the staircase at Brooklyn College. I see this guy walking back and forth while I'm praying, and I'm just thinking, man, maybe God wants me to reach out to this person. And I reach out to him, and he asked me, do you guys do baptisms and conversions? I was like, yeah, we could do that for you. You know, like, I don't know. It was the weirdest question. I'm like, do you know who I am? That's such a weird question to ask. And he was like, yeah, I've been thinking about converting. And I'm like, wow, that's totally God that I met this person. And pray for them. Their name is Zechos from Montenegro. And God willing, he'll be studying the Bible this week. But just going in the strength that we have, guys. You know, I just want to encourage you guys to make God your strength. And to go and to know that there's no need to worry because the Lord is with you, mighty Brooklyn. Amen.